Welcome to Shelter Church. We are a Holy Spirit anchored, Spirit-filled, led and directed. We believe that God has good plans for your life, your family, and together for us as a community. Be Spirit-filled, led and directed.
8 Money Habits, Wisdom to Stewardship. Our subtitle is, I Must Be Generous with What is Entrusted to Me. So stewardship is being a caretaker of God's kingdom. So when we look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, 11, it says, as each has received a gift, employ it in serving one another as good managers of the grace of God in its various forms. If anyone speaks, let it be as it were the very word of God. If anyone speaks, let it be as it were the very word ways of God. So we get to understand here that we are employed to make sure that we serve one another. We are employed to make sure that we become good managers of the grace of God in its variety forms. So God has called us to be caretakers of his kingdom here on earth. So you get to understand that as we continue. So let us look at John chapter 3 verse 17 just to lay the foundation. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or a sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? How can the love of God be in that person? Our Lord Jesus Christ says something to the disciple and say that they will know that you are of me by the way you love each other. One thing that also God wants us to focus is to make sure that for us to be the receiver of his wealth, we must be the givers. So God wants us to be givers so that we may be able to flow the economy of the kingdom of God. So we are to be good stewards, but yet again, we are to be generous with what God has entrusted us with. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. So we look at the parables of Luke chapter 16, verse 1 to 13. So Jesus told this disciple a parable. There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and ask him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management because you cannot be a manager any longer. The manager said to himself, what shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I am not strong enough to dig. I am ashamed to beg. I know what I will do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses. Are you all together? Let's move. I want us to go so that we can be able to wrap this thing out, according to how the Holy Spirit wants us to wrap it out. Amen. So whoever can be trusted with the very little can also be entrusted with much. I want us to look at this. This is an employee who misused the resources of his master. This is an employee or this is a manager who misused the resources of his master. So when we look at verse 10, it says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Whoever is dishonored with very little will also be dishonored with much. So it is a manager who, the master representing God and the manager representing us, whereby God has entrusted us with his kingdom, but within what he has entrusted us with, he wants us to make sure that we do things according to order and according to the right integrity and reputation. It says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Whoever is dishonored with very little will also be dishonest with much. So how you treat things, how you manage and how you are able to operate in every area that the Lord has appointed you in, it determines how you are going to be able to manage the bigger responsibility. How you manage your small responsibility, it determines how you're going to be able to manage the bigger responsibility. When we look at verse 11, the same chapter, we are on Luke, if you've forgotten, we are on Luke chapter 6, we read verse 10. I want us to just look at verse 11. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, listen to that, who will trust you with the true riches? If you have not been trusted with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. It's either you can hate the one and love the other, you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So one other thing also I want us to look at, as we look at the manager, was able to cut the cost and the debts of people, because he wanted to make sure that when he loses his job, he will be able to have favor with men. I ought to get have fine favor with men. But the other thing that I want us to look at the story is to understand that God wants us to be wiser in handling our resources. He wants us to be wiser in handling resources. So that our Lord Jesus Christ tells these disciples, because he wanted the disciples to know how to handle wealth, to know how to handle wealth. One can look at the story in a negative way. No, don't look at the negative way, because at the end of the day, the man made sure that those who were owing the master were able to pay him, were able to pay him, even though he cut their cost, even though he was able to cut their cost, but they were able to pay him because he wanted to make sure that when he loses job, he can be able to have favor with men. So what we need to do, we need to understand something, that it is very important that we are to be people who are able to put people first and not ourselves first. So the manager was in the position whereby he was using the resources of the master in a way that was not good, but he realized that that will cost his job, and that has cost him his job. So within that, as we are walking in the journey of becoming good stewardship and receiving the wisdom that God has for us in this season, we are to understand that we are being tested every day with the little that God has given unto us. So the salary that God gave you, God has entrusted you with that salary. The wage that God gave you, God has entrusted you with that salary. And God wants you to put him first in that salary. That's the beginning of being a good steward. Being a good steward. Not putting yourself first, but putting people first. I all together. So you put God first, and you put put people first. And after that, you are able to get more wisdom in managing your the resources that God has given unto you. I hope I'm making sense, because I'm trying to break this down in a simple way that I can. So that's what we are learning from this parable, that this man was using the resources of the master in a way that was not good. And he realized from the end that what he was doing was not good. So stewardship, it is a skill or an ability to possess in your lifestyle. So this means that the stewardship is an expected expression and lifestyle of a Christian or a believer to manage what is of God. Number two, I want you to write that down. I know that point was long. I want to read it again. Stewardship is a skill or an ability to possess in your lifestyle. Therefore, means that the stewardship is an expected expression or lifestyle of a Christian or a believer to manage what is of God. So we are to be able to be good managers. We are to be good managers. We are to learn to be trusted with the little that God has given unto us. We are to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us to manage the little that we have for us. I believe that is what God is doing in this season. So 1 John chapter 3. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. So whatever that we are, whatever we are managing, whatever we are owning on this earth, it does not belong to us. We're going to leave everything that we are owning, we're going to leave everything that we have, we're going to leave them on this earth, dust to dust. But when we understand that what we have is not ours, it is of God, we are able to do what? We are able to flourish in the kingdom of God. Point number two, please write it down. Stewardship is about who you are and what you have. Stewardship is about who you are and what you have. That's why I like to say that money exposes who you are. If you're a good person, you are going to manifest the good characteristics in you. The money is going to Money is going to magnify, let me put it that way, money is going to magnify the good characteristics that you have in you. If you are a bad person, money is going to magnify the bad characteristics that you have in you. So who you are and what you have makes it determines what type of a steward you're going to be. So you must understand that God is calling us to be good stewards. He's calling us to be good stewards. He's calling us to be able to manage what he has given unto us. He's calling us to go back to our bank statement and look at what is taking our money and look how we are managing what he has given unto us. He's calling us back to realize that the salary and the wages that we think it is ours, it is not ours. It is from him. He's calling us to remember that the job that we have, it is the job that we prayed for and he answered. And he gave us that job to remember that the qualification that we have, it is not ours. The wisdom didn't come from us. It was by favor that we are in the position that we have, that he's calling us back to be kingdom finances in the body of Christ. That's what God is doing. And so that we may be able to occupy larger territories. But if we're going to refuse doing that, we're going to find ourselves that we are operating at the lower level of the anointing that God has placed in our life. We have not yet tapped into the true potential that God has installed in us. I hope you get what I'm saying right now. So we are to make sure that we manage what God has given us very well so that we can become people that God is going to use to be generous givers, to be givers and not receivers. So point number three, once someone becomes a believer, who they are and what they have is understood to be from God. Listen to that. Point. Remember John chapter 1 verse 3. Once someone becomes a believer, who they are and what they have is understood to be from God. Why? Because when we read John chapter 1 verse 3, it says what? Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. So once you become a believer, once you become born again, whatever you have is no longer yours, because now you have surrendered. You have said and you have acknowledged that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. So now you are in a new economy. You are no longer in the darkness economy. You are in the light and marvelous. You are in the kingdom of light, not the kingdom of darkness. So whatever that it is yours, it now belongs to the body of Christ. And when you realize that you are able to do what, you are able to receive the blessings of the Lord. Let me just break it down for you. Awesome. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 to 28. Listen to this. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock, all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Verse 27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. Verse 28. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in numbers, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the bird in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So from the beginning, we have been given a responsibility to be good steward. So we need that wisdom of being able to become good steward, because from the beginning, the Lord has said what? Be fruitful, increase in numbers, and fill the earth and subdue it. God said, let us make men in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish, the sea, the bird in the sky. So God has given us a responsibility from the beginning to be able to be good stewards. Even in our time, God expects us to be a people who are going to be good stewards, by making sure that we are taking care of the church, by making sure that we are believers who care about each other, by making sure that we give him the worship. We don't want to receive worship. I'm telling you, we are in an era whereby most of people in the church, they've forgotten how to worship, because they have become gods of their own lifestyle. They receive the worship. They want the worship to be the way they want it to be. They want the church to
for it to be the way they want it to be. They want to receive the worship. They have forgotten to give the worship, because God wants us to worship Him with our wealth. I hope you get what I'm saying. God wants us to worship Him with our wealth. Not worship wealth. Worship Him with our wealth. Not worship wealth. Worship Him with our wealth. Not worship wealth. I'm repeating myself because I want it to sink in. God wants us to go to the basic of learning how to worship. Some of us, we have been receiving worship like we are God. We have made ourselves our own God. We think that we are in a good, we are in a good relationship with God because we are able to function in the strength that He has already given unto us from the beginning. The strength of creating, the strength of being able to work, the strength of being able to analyze things, because He's a faithful God. Whatever He has given unto you, can never take. But you're going to face judgment on how you have used it. Point number four, please write it down. Point number four, we are created to work for God and to be generous as He is. We are created to work for God and to be generous as He is. Point number five. Stewardship implies that God is the owner and we are His stewards. Stewardship implies that God is the owner and we are His stewards. When we understand that God has given us a responsibility in everything that we do, we understand that God wants to build a church. God wants to build a community. God wants to build a society. God wants to build a world that is equal to all and fair to all, because God is a God of justice. God is a God of justice. When He judges fairly so. But how will we do it? We are going to be able to do it when we are able to understand that we are to be good stewards, and yet again God wants us to be generous givers at the same time. I hope you get what I'm saying. So given that God is the source of who we are and what we have, then he is the owner. He is the owner. He is the owner. He is the owner of what we have. We can never change it. Listen to this. Psalms 24 verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. The earth is the Lord and everything in it, and the world and all who live in it. So everything in the world, it belongs to God. But He wants us to be good to us. He really wants to trust us, but He wants us to be faithful with a little so that He can trust us with much. Because whoever becomes unfaithful with a little, they'll also be unfaithful with the responsibility that's going to be given unto them. The Bible says, to whom is given, much is required. So are we doing what God wants us to do? Do we want to be good stewards so that God can trust us with much, so we can become generous people, so we can become kingdom financiers? Listen to this. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 to 30 is another parable that was spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ. But before we get there, listen to this. Point number six. I forgot about it. God is the creator, that's the owner. We are simply workers of what He has given us. I'm going to repeat it again. God is the creator, that's the owner. We are simply workers of what He has given unto us. So whatever you have pride on, that's why the Bible warns us of dying from self. That's why the Bible warns us of doing what? Of surrendering our life, because it talks about whoever tries to save his life will lose it. So whoever tries to manage what belongs to God with his own strength, without the help of the Holy Spirit, you're gonna lose it. Because whatever that we have is by the grace and the favor of the Lord. Let me just go to the scripture. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 to 30. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants, entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. Then the man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money into the work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the one who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. So what is the moral lesson within these parables? Is to understand that God has given us gifts and talents, and God has given us salaries and money, and he wants us to understand that for us to be able to be good stewards and for us to be able to be generous givers, to be kingdom finances, we are to make sure that we are multiply what he has given unto us. And the first thing that will help you to multiply what God has given unto you is to be able to trust him with what he has given unto you. Do you trust God with what he has given unto you? The first sign to see that the first sign that God looks at in seeing that you trust him with your finances, are you able to tithe? Are you able to offer to the church that God has planted you in? Or are you still debating with the worldview? Are you still observing the deception of the enemy telling you that you don't have to do that? Because the principality of being a giver, the principality of giving back to the kingdom of God, it still works. The Bible says he will bless you beyond measure, beyond your measure, emphasis added. So the principality of giving is still works. Even when you give to those who are poor, the Lord will bless you. But God wants you first to understand that there is more power and favor in being able to be in realizing the anointing and the power that is connected to being a partner with God. Being a partner with God. Being able to let God to trust you with what he has given unto you. So listen to this. Point number 7. You will act like the owner, and there will be wastage of who you are and what you have. God will not be pleased by you. Listen to them. When you act like the owner, there will be what? There will be wastage of who you are and what you have. I altogether. I think I read it in the wrong way. Forgive me. When you act like the owner, there will be wastage of who you are and what you have. And God will not be pleased by you because you act like an owner. You act like where you are right now is by your strength and by your ability. You are unable to give God the glory that he deserves. In your spiritual life, in your financial life, in your relationships, there's nothing that shows that God is in your life. You have hidden God in your life. You don't want God to receive his glory. Men think that you are making it on your own strength. When they look at you, they can't see the fruits of the Holy Spirit in your life. They can't see the work of God in your life. You are a robber in the house of the Lord because you proclaim to worship him. Let me not say you proclaim to worship him. You receive the worship that belongs to him. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 to verse 25. Give freely and become more wealthy. Be a stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper, and those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. The world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. I'm going to read that verse again. It is an opening eye. It really cuts deep. Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. Point number 8. We are to manage well and give freely what God has entrusted us with to allow God to bless us. I'm going to read it again. Point number 8. We are to manage well and give freely what God has entrusted us with to allow God to bless us. Remember Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 to 25. The wall of the generous gets larger and larger. The wall of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. So when you exercise generosity, especially in the house of the Lord, I hope you hear what I'm saying. Because some of you are so generous, but you are generous in demonic altars. You can spend a lot of money in supporting worldly organizations, but you cannot spend a lot of money in supporting a local church that God has planted you in. But you can spend a lot of money in a world organizations, world seminars, but you cannot plant your seed in advancing the kingdom of God. And I believe that God is calling us back to that altogether. So point number 9, we must trust God. We must trust God. Most of us, we don't trust God. That's why we are not able to walk in the generosity that God wants us to walk in. Are not able to walk in the wisdom that God wants us to walk in. we are not able to walk in the anointing of stewardship that God wants us to walk in, because we have not learned to trust God. Listen to this. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 10. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh, refreshments to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Listen to that. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. One of the things that shows that you trust God in your spiritual life, in your financial life, in your relational life, is when you are able to put God first. It is when you are able to put God first. It is in this generation we understand that the nation that is able to give, God will continue to bless them. It is the principality. It is the principle that God honors. It is the principle that God honors. Whoever helps the needy, whoever is able to understand that the kingdom of God must be advanced, they will be blessed. The Bible says he will not only bless them, but the generation that will come. Some of us, we must understand the seed that you are planting, you're not planting for yourself. Sometimes you're planting it for your grandchildren. I hope I'm speaking something to someone. Because most of the time we do things because we are waiting to get something out of it. If you are wanting to get something out of it, you forget that the Bible says that for the Lord checks our motives. Surrender your plans unto the Lord, but know that he checks the motives. When you ask because you ask in the wrong motives, you ask so that you may do what? You may fulfill the desires of your flesh. So we must understand when we give, do not give hoping that you're going to get something. Gonna get something. Give in a way where you say, God, I'm giving because I want to see your kingdom being advanced. I want to see your kingdom grow. I want to see this vision and this church that you've given unto the man of God enlarge and come into its potential. When you become that person, you are able to walk in the plan of God, and you are able to become a good steward, and you are able to understand that whatever you have is not yours, but it belongs to God. And you are able to kill pride, and you are able to kill stinginess in you, and you are able to escape the snare of money. Because whoever falls in love with money will attract evil things. But whoever is able to worship God with their money will attract good things. Point number 10, give joyfully. Give joyfully. Give joyfully. Proverbs 11, verse 25. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Give joyfully. Proverbs 11, verse 25. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. So God wants to put us in that position so that we are able to refresh others by being good towards in his kingdom, so that we may be able to become generous people, so that we may be able to become kingdom financiers. I hope you hear what I'm saying. So may you give unto the Lord's house. May you manage what God has given unto you. And may you seek his wisdom. And may you let the Holy Spirit correct you. One thing that you must understand, this word is bringing you to the realization of knowing that God wants you to become a good steward and to be a generous giver. But for you to be a generous giver, you must first be a good steward. You must manage your finances well first. Then you are able to become a generous giver. You must obtain the wisdom of becoming a good steward. Then you are able to become a generous giver. So this is my prayer for you. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for this way, Lord. I pray for my brother and sister right now. Lord, give them the spirit of discipline this year, 2023, to be good stewards
And Father, give them the heart to be generous with what they have in your house, in their family, in their lives, Lord. Let them know that you are calling them back to partner with you to enlarge your kingdom. And Lord, may you heal them and may you deliver them and may you give them victory in their lives. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Believe and have faith, you are delivered, healed, and transformed into the likeness of God in Christ. For more ways to partner with us, do contact us via our church email, give directly into our PayPal link, or visit our church website. We love you and be blessed.